Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 91.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. This is episode 91. We're going to be continuing the jazz transcription of Benny Green's solo over Celia. If you're interested in more information on our 600-video course that's being used in colleges and high schools in private homes around the world, go to jazzpianoschool.com/look-inside. You can get more information on that course and the other services we have to offer. So without further ado, let's dive right in. So what we're going to be doing here, again, is looking at the transcription. So, of course, let me go ahead and play it for you, and then I will walk you through everything that Benny's doing. All right, here we go. Okay, so that was pretty awesome, right? I love his lines. They fit so well together systematically. It's just amazing. So the first sequence we get is a minor 2-5, which is really nice. So the way Benny starts this off is he actually plays a he leads into the root from going from F to G to A. So essentially he's just leading up to the root to get to the A minor 7 flat 5. Now, again, Benny's using a flat 9 in his scale. Again, so we're coming essentially from G minor, right? Excuse me. Now, there are a lot of different scales you can use over a minor 2-5, right? The ones initially that are taught are the three different types of scales over your G minor chord. So you have G natural minor. You have G harmonic minor. Sorry. And then you have G melodic minor. Okay? So over the 2 chord in a minor 2-5, we're going to use G natural minor, and that's what Benny's using here with this flat 9. So essentially we're going to start the G natural minor scale on A. Right? And that's how he leads into the A. So because of that F natural, you know he's not using melodic minor because melodic minor has the F sharp in it. If you chose to use the melodic minor, you would hear the F sharp. Okay? Now, I'll get to that second part in a second. But again, natural minor for the minor 2 flat 5. Again, some people don't really like the sound of the flat 9. But theoretically, that's what's happening. Some people will choose to use the natural 9, which is more of an extension, right? Some people like that sound. Some people tend to lean towards that more than the flat 9, okay? But what Benny's doing here is using that flat 9 over the minor 7 flat 5, okay? So he's walking up to the third very easily, going back down. Now, again, this is what I talked about in the last episode, is Benny will play, lead into changes before they happen. So he's landing on this F sharp like it's a chord tone, and it is. It's a chord tone of the next chord, the D7 that's coming. But he lands on it on beat 4. So it's a very interesting concept, right? His whole entire line kind of is displaced by a beat. Right? So he hits that F sharp. So you're already hearing the chord tones for the next chord before you even get there harmonically, which is very interesting. It kind of allows the ear to flow through the changes a little bit more. It sounds very, very good. It connects all the changes harmonically very nicely. So, right? And then he hits the C, simply the 7. And again, he resolves to the D just with a little chromatic approach. And then another chromatic approach to the third. And then he hits an octave. Right? So a lot of chromatic approaches happening in this over the 5 chord, right? So you have this chromatic approach. and then you have another chromatic approach. So you have two approaches tied together. Very, very complete line over your minor 2-5. Now, he has a very nice approach going into the second 2-5, the G minor over the going to the C7. I love that approach. Right? So chord scale below, half step below, chord scale above, half step above into your root. Then he simply outlines the G minor triad, lands on the 7, and then approaches the 3rd. Again, he's outlining the chord. This is the same thing. He hits the, he's outlining some of the chord tones from the C7 before you even get there. So he has... finally, he resolves down to the C, right? So he outlines that 3rd, hits the C, continues down to C's dominant bebop scale. You heard this line in the previous transcription we did last week. Right, that little line there. And then he goes from the root, walks down half step into the 7th of the C minor. Outlines the C minor chord. So you're getting a sense that he's outlining chords a lot. Right, he's outlining chords going up and outlining chords going down. Very simple. So he'll walk into a chord tone, right, and then outline the chord. Same thing what he did with the G. He used a chromatic approach into the root. Outlines the chord, right? Bebop scale. And then walk down to the 7. Outline the chord. Now here, we got a nice funky little line. So all he's doing is taking this minor third and essentially moving down in thirds, not diatonically, obviously, until he gets to the 5 and the 7, right? So he has F minor triad, E flat minor triad, D flat major triad, C minor triad. Then, kind of like a little play, he has this sharp 11, this weird triad, right? A diminished chord. And then it resolves to the F or the 7 of the G minor. Diminished. Right? Going on. Okay. So with this line, right? This is a really nice approach here. You're not essentially moving anywhere, but you're starting on the note. This is the 9 of the C minor chord. And again, he's probably thinking more B flat in this part. Again, that's kind of similar to what we did his break. Remember, the initial break he played was, right, this kind of sound. Right, again, just kind of more B-flat, bluesy-ish sound there. Resolves to the 5 of the D minor. Now, he has a nice motif here because he has a rhythmic motif that he plays, over the B-flat. And then he uses the rhythm again. So think about that stuff. When you use a rhythm, then you play something in between, then you can use that rhythm again. It really ties things together, right? Right, so having both of those rhythms with a filler in between is a very nice thing. Now, here, this is technically difficult. Doing this line from the 9, this is a very common line in jazz over a minor chord, right? So essentially, you're walking up the nine as like a kind of propel note, an eighth note into a triplet, moving up the chord all the way up to a 9. So you're basically outlining a rootless voicing here, right? Right? That's a very common line in jazz. Using this over the E flat minor 7 is technically difficult because you can't really cross under to your 1 to get to the D flat. So what I did was 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to your 5. Technically, that's very difficult. And then I placed my 1 here. Now, I want to talk about this D natural he's using. It's the sharp 11 over that A flat 7 chord, which is a really cool sound. Right? And then it leads back into the D minor 7. So again, he's using notes that kind of are leading into the next chord, that D natural. Even though it's a sharp 11, it's resolving into a D minor chord, which is the root of the next chord. Right? And then so from this D minor 7, we walk down to essentially the 13. He could be thinking more about a G7 chord here. Again, that would be the dominant relation of the D minor 7. So, and what he does is, again, he walks up a G7 dominant to the flat 9. So remember when I talked about bebop players, and Benny's, you know, he's played with the Jazz Messengers, and he's been around, obviously, during the birth of bebop. So they're thinking more the dominant chord over the minor chord. So even though you see a D minor, he was probably thinking here G7, right? So he hit this D, walked down to the third of the G7, 5, 7, flat 9, 7, up by a half step below approach into the 5 of the C minor. So again, he's not thinking really D minor 7. Right? So because the 2-5 is D minor to G7. So for the whole bar, he's just thinking G7. Continues up here. Again, just a regular Ionian mode, walking up B flat to the third, right? And then he resolves his line very solidly, right? This is why how Benny ties his lines together very nicely, right? Just a very clean ending. Ba-da-da-ba-dee-ba-ba, right? Just no hesitation, no insecurities about that. He's like, boom, this is where the end of the line is, right? And then he finishes the line. That's just a little funny, like, motif thing that you can learn, right? Right, you have this, the B-flat set. So he's going from B-flat, B-flat 7. You know, this is more of a diminished, B-flat diminished. And then moving down by a half step, and then finally into the... This is basically your 4 minor, right? Triad, but in an inversion, right? E-flat minor triad, 4 minor triad. So with the B-flat in the bass, and that's your second inversion. And then finally resolving into your 1 chord. So the chord progression there over this line that he's playing, sorry, right? He has B flat, B flat 7, B flat diminished, E flat minor over B flat, or second inversion of your E flat minor triad, finally resolving to a B flat triad, right? Very nice, cool little line too that he has there. So I hope that was helpful. That's another walkthrough of the second part of his solo. I'm going to continue on. I mean, he has so much great stuff here. And again, practice these little movements, right? You want to practice these movements through the different keys, practice his solo. But again, it's more about using these Lego building blocks and how you can construct them and mix and match them. That's really going to help you learn the freedom of improv and expand your opportunities and improve your playing. So I'll see you in the next podcast. We'll continue with the transcription analysis, and happy practicing.